Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 4th of July, year 2018. I'm Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. Today's conference call will have an agenda of 1, Independence Day, which of course is today, current events, Q updates, and the economy. We do dedicate this program and call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew, and to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I am trying out a new setup for microphone and headset, so if anybody listening could send me a quick post as to the quality of the sound, I would appreciate it. Again, it's new equipment, so we have to stay on top of whether or not it's working properly. I do want to remind everybody that we are in the question and answer mode, which means only one person is able to talk at a time, and that's only after you click on the button on the computer that says you have a question or comment, or on your phones it would be *6, and that will flag me that you wish to make a comment, and I can unmute your phone. I also want to remind you, too, email has been giving everybody a lot of fits here lately, so if you would remember the website, PastorDan.net, I use that a lot lately, I would say pretty much on a daily basis. The only time that I don't is if I'm out of town or away from internet and a possible hookup. So because email is giving so much trouble, please go to, again, PastorDan.net. The daily news page is where I put the latest and greatest headlines that I'm finding. I also update the pages, for instance, on health and historical information, references to good sites to get identity information and to learn, because there's so much going on and we're being deceived by so many people. I would highly recommend that you do that. It would save me an awful lot of work because, again, between Gmail shutting down people's mail and now a few other providers are doing the same thing, they're trying to make it very difficult for us to send out bulk mail. In fact, they're even trying to block some direct mail one-to-one for some reason. So, again, with all this going on, we do have the website and might as well use it to the best of our ability. We're also putting archives of past calls and past BYD programs up there. And I would like my listeners and fellow Israelites, if you could, listen to the interview I did with Gail, Dr. Gail Mack, and tell me your opinion, because I am really buffaloed as to why there is so much consternation over that interview when all we did was talk about natural health and the Beamer technology. That's all. And I'll give an update right now that Dr. Gale is helping 2 Israelite families deal with cancer, and they're having success. And she's helped over the years that I've known her many, many other people over their ailments. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I was told, according to the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, to judge people by their fruits, okay? Is there a possibility that there's misunderstanding in the way we speak and the words we use and the images we use? Remember, language is a science, because there's no way for you to get into my head or for me to get into your head. That's what language is for. And the better skills at language you have, the better you're able to convey your thoughts to other people. Well, like any other skill on this earth, some are better at it than others. And what an image or a word or a definition means to you, it might mean something completely different to somebody else. And yet we've got some closed-minded, hypocritical, pompous asses amongst identity that seem to think it's their job to make everybody in line with their definitions. I got news for you. It ain't going to happen. And tonight, for the first time, I've had to block somebody. I blocked their email address from coming into my box because they're just pompous asses. And I'm talking to a fellow by the name of David. And why do I say that? Because he had the audacity to write to me and tell me that I'm not a man of Yahweh because I don't send out email according to his standards. I don't have guests on that meet his standards or the Three Stooges at Eurofolk Radio. I'm not going to do anything by their standards or any of you listening. I do my work by the standards that I've come to using my research, my study time, and my fellowship with the Almighty. It's got nothing to do with you. That's why it's called an off button. If you don't like what I'm talking about, turn it off. The people at Eurofolk Radio, if they didn't like what Dr. Mack and I were saying, they should have left. That's what somebody with manners and character would do. Just get the hell off the channel. Do you honestly think, people, that every single guest, every single time, is going to meet your high standards? And if it doesn't meet your standards, you're going to assume that everything they have to say is tainted and of no value. Is that right? If I applied that same standard to you, I'd have no friends in identity. Because do you know how many folks calling themselves identity have pissed me off at one time or another with their attitudes, their comments, their behavior? I've had friends contact me lately since this split with EFR, not to chastise, but to ask me, what is it with folks who call themselves identity? Because they had been to feasts, they've been to the homes and gatherings of some in identity, and they were greatly disappointed in the behavior that they witnessed. We're supposed to be the leaders, folks. Now, I know a whole lot of folks are out celebrating the 4th of July, so most of the listeners will catch us on a replay. But I'm asking you, where are we fulfilling the obligation to be leaders and lead by example when that's the behavior that others are going to see by the manner in which we dress or the food that we eat? Oh, but it's not pork and shellfish. But it's full of chemicals and dyes? And that somehow makes it okay? Okay, it's not pork, it's not shrimp, it's not lobster, but it's full of red dye number 7, blue dye number 5. It's got aspartame, it's got high fructose corn syrup. It's got flavorings created from fetal material from dead babies, but that's okay. It's okay to stick knives in other Israelites' back because they don't agree with you 100%. I read an article about a so-called leader in our movement here recently that said he's bringing the Roman Catholic Church that he was raised in into identity. At first I thought that's ridiculous, but guess what? I have to rethink that now. There are folks in identity who act exactly like Roman Catholics. There's a few people in identity who think they're the Pope, and there's a few people under the Pope that think they're cardinals. Part of the reason I don't even want to go by Pastor Dan anymore is I'm not sure I want to be associated with assholes like that. I'm sorry, but that's the facts. They can't even get the simple stuff right. We're sitting here making fun of Jimmy Swaggart and Robert Shuler and all the rest of the hypocrites on television. because of their pompousness and because they don't follow the scriptures at all. And yet we got people that are calling themselves the leaders of this movement. And yet they're not doing it either. They're just as bad, just as biased, just as hypocritical, argumentative, divisive. Some people have called me to say that they're sorry to see the division. Personally, I'm glad. If that's what's going as identity, I may have to walk away from that title because you're not getting it. You're not getting the truth of the scriptures at all. Oh, you know about identity as far as identifying the Jew, but you've got all the rest about how you're supposed to behave wrong. Where in Scripture does it say to condemn another without getting all the evidence? Where in Scripture does it say to condemn another brother without meeting in private first to discuss the matter? Where does it say that? Where does it say being a pompous ass, thinking that you're better than anybody else and hogging the conversation? Where does it say to do that? Where does it say to enter into a fight or a disagreement when you have no dog in the fight whatsoever? Judge them by their fruits. So if people think that somehow separating myself from people like that is going to harm me, let's see who the last man standing is. I've had better than them try to destroy me over the years. And I've heard some of the things they're saying, which are outright lies. And by the way, which of the three names you go by do you want to be called, Eli? And you're calling me a fake and a fraud? Choose one of them, would you please? Why have three? My life's an open book. I've had plenty of people come visit me. They'll find that I live this lifestyle. I live this word. And it shows in my home, and it shows in my conduct, and it shows in my health. I'm not so sure the rest of you understand that. I'm talking about the so-called leaders. And since this is Independence Day, I didn't want to get into all this, but it's like, I'm just amazed sometimes at the audacity and ignorance of the people who call themselves identity from time to time. It really is astounding. I'm just mesmerized. Like I said, I haven't had to block somebody on email in a very, very long time. But that one just pissed me off to the point where I blocked them right out. I'm sick and tired of this stuff, where people think they have a right to censor and or dictate to others completely in disagreement with the scriptures, but somehow they're better than everybody else. Really. Like I said, let's see who the last man standing is when all is said and done. You lead by example, people. You lead by example. Actions speak louder than words. But happy 242 years. We've made it so far. I don't know that we're going to make it much further unless things turn around, and that's up to the American people, especially the Adamites, who are the ones supposed to be running this country. We've got a caller here, and I've got two different phone numbers, so I'm not sure which one is it. It ends in 6165. Hello, and can you hear me?
Yeah, mate. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, right. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm fine. Who's this, please?
This is Vinny.
Who?
No, it's Vinny, mate.
Oh, Vinny?
Yeah, big fan of your show.
Okay,
do you know me?
Vinny.
Do you remember me from the Discord servers?
Yeah, I seem to remember you, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah, I'm just a big fan of your stuff, so I'm just wondering, you know, like, just how's it going? Because you haven't been able to chat for a long time. Just wonder when you can come on my podcast.
Discord was causing trouble on my computer, so that's about it. I just got off of it because Discord is tying up too much of my resources on the computer and caused me to freeze. And that sort of thing.
All right. Well, I sent you an email the other day. I don't know if you got it.
No, I did not.
Oh, it's Vinny Struggle, vinnyspeaks@gmail.com. I sent you an email about our podcast. Just wonder if we could do a podcast soon.
I'll have to take a look at the email. I didn't see it come in today, so I'll go back
Oh
and
yeah, it
if
was
you
a
could.
while ago. You don't really, re you don't reply. So I was a bit worried because I was like, I was a bit
Okay.
scared.
Just send it to me again then.
All right. Well, I'll let you go on with your podcast now.
Okay. Take care and
All right.
Yahweh
See
bless.
you. Yahweh bless.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
All right, very good. So again, here we are, like I said, on the 4th of July. Supposedly there's a big celebration in Washington, D.C. The three major military bands are supposed to be playing. And let's hope it's not our last. But everything's in Father's hands. There's still a lot of debate about whether there's white hats or not that are going to try to help us overcome the wicked that have taken control of this country and virtually every other white nation. So and as I've told people, here's the good news, all right? Everything that we see going on tells us one thing, that something big is about to happen. What exactly happens, I don't know anybody that has a crystal ball that's going to tell you who's going to do what to whom and why. But as the old saying goes, when you see a lot of smoke, you know there's a fire. There's a fire. Yahweh tells us there's a fire coming. So one way or the other, at least we're not going to continue to die a death of a thousand cuts. All right? That's the part that's hard to take. A death by a thousand cuts. So those of us that have been in the know for decades upon decades and been trying to wake up people, this is a glorious time. I've never seen so many people waking up all of a sudden, both in the world of politics and to the scriptures. I've never seen more people that are Jew savvy, that know the truth about who these people that call themselves Jews, who are satanic from top to bottom, and they are like termites eating away at every institution on earth. They're being identified. That's why you see the big push for censorship. That's why you see the mainstream media going absolutely ballistic with their nonsensical information, trying to take attention away from those telling the truth. So, are we at the end of the age? Meaning, is there a great tribulation coming? My contention is we've been in the great tribulation. If you read the horror stories of what the communists have done to innocent people, what the wars have done to innocent people, what all the wars in the last 200 years by governments and how many people have died at the hands of their own government, how many babies have died, what the Catholic Church and all the pedophiles have done to people that we were not even aware of. When you add all that stuff up, that's a lot of innocent blood. In fact, that might even be enough blood to come to a horse's bridle in a valley. Wouldn't it? But everybody's telling me, oh no, there can't be anything good happen because we have to go through the tribulation yet. Well, if it gets much worse than what we're living through right now, folks, I don't know that we're going to make it. All right? You don't even have decent food to eat. Your water is contaminated. You're pumping in vaccines into your body. God only knows what it's doing to you. Most of the doctors out there that are researchers that are finding out what all this stuff is doing to you, they end up mysteriously dying. We're almost up to 100 researchers in natural health who have discovered either cures or what they're doing to us, unbeknownst to us, mysteriously are dying. Where's the investigation? All right, that's why I'm saying. The people in Washington, the Pentagon, the military, the intelligence agents and whatnot that are supposed to be doing us some good, we don't know if they're for real or not. Not yet, we don't. That's why the weapons stay at the ready. That's why you stay vigilant. Nobody's telling you to put your guard down. Nobody's telling you to put your weapons away because the Civil War, both here in the United States or in the world, may still happen yet. But that also does not mean that there aren't good people trying to do something. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that there are good people. Because I was contacted by people in the military intelligence agencies, retirees, that contacted me 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago, and asked me about a coup. The very thing that the QAnon posts on the internet are talking about, they were talking to me about almost 8 years ago. So, was there an effort, and has there been an effort, to try to bring about change, to awaken the American people to the tremendous evil that's going on? My opinion is that yes, there is. When I contacted United States Air Force General Ben Parton to ask him to be my guest on the radio, he said verbatim, "Yeah, I know who you are." Well, how does a general in Virginia know who I am? Just back then, that was over 10, almost 15 years ago. How would he know me as a little guy in a old farmhouse with a radio show? Why would a general know about me? Because our radio show has been dedicated to the truth and nothing but the truth from day one. It's been dedicated to our Heavenly Father Yahweh every show from the first show till this show, every one of them. The reason I believe that we're still here and we have not been harassed, threatened, etc., is because of that very issue. We talk about truths. We don't condemn anybody. We don't criticize anybody. I've had atheists on the program. I've had agnostics on the program. I've had Catholics on the program. But when they come on as my guests, the only thing that is my requirement is that they tell the truth about the topic that we're going to discuss. I don't condemn them for what their beliefs are, and neither should you. That's between them and the Father. Just as every listener to my program for the last 19 years, I don't condemn them. I'm here to teach. I'm here to elucidate what the hell's going on in this sick world. And the good news that we have a Heavenly Father that this is not what He wants. We have a Father that came down and put on a flesh body and allowed Himself to be tortured and murdered so that we could be reunited to Him. How many people do you know that have that kind of love? How many people walking in shoe leather do you know that have that kind of faith and love for you as a person? The mainstream churches are doing nothing to help us. They're trying to divide everybody by talking about nonsense. So nobody wants to step foot in a church, and I can't blame them. I wouldn't step foot in a mainstream church for all the tea in China. Okay, I think we have a caller. This says Carson. Carson, can you hear me?
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Do you have a comment or question?
I'll ask a question later. I just pressed a little button. I didn't know how this works. So.
Oh, okay, no problem. So I'll just mute you, and then when you do have something you want to say, just press it again. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Yep. We're all. This is a new thing. The free conference call set up as a platform to have these discussions, and so there's a learning curve for me and for listeners. So don't be embarrassed about that. We all make mistakes. We all go over bumps in the road trying to figure out how all this works. But I do admit one thing, that the free conference call format seems to be working very, very well. It's made my life a hell of a lot easier trying to do these programs. And now that we're doing conference calls rather than actual radio programs, so to speak, it seems to be going very well, and it's very popular. Archives of these calls are on the website, PastorDan.net, and a lot of folks listen to them later on, and I've got a lot of good feedback. There's a lot going on, folks. And again, our goal here is to dig up the truth. to dig it up so that not only do I and my family members and friends know what's going on, but I consider all true believers in our Heavenly Father Yahweh to be part of my family. That's the way I look at it. And even those that don't belong to my race or my family of faith, if they're behaving themselves properly, exactly as Scripture says, those that bless Abraham shall be blessed in turn. Well, our father, our great ancestor, is Abraham. So when other races have the proper attitude, just like the woman in Matthew that came up to the Christ and asked the Christ to bless her by healing her daughter. She was not an Israelite. That's why when she first came up to him, Christ didn't even talk to her. But she kept nagging, and she kept tugging at his cloak, until one of the disciples said, Yeshua, Jesus, would you please send this woman away? She's annoying us. Or talk to her. Do something. And Christ turned around and looked at his disciple and said, it's not good to give the children's bread to a dog. Now, what do you think that means? Okay, that's a biblical way of saying giving the message that I'm bringing about the restoration of the Israelites, who are the white race, this message does not belong to the non-whites, the dogs. And she said, what? She said, yes, you're right, I'm a dog. I admit that. But don't dogs deserve the scraps from their master's table? And it's then that the Christ said, strong is your faith, and he granted her wish and healed her daughter. Is that an example for the white race today? Sure it is. And the white race has been that way for the past 2,000 years. We are a blessing to those who behave themselves, those who understand the proper order in this world, and they are blessed by us helping them financially or with medicine or technology or agriculture, you name it, by our inventions. If you honestly look up and throw out all the bullshit coming from the mainstream media, you will find that 98 to 99% of all the inventions that have advanced mankind were created or founded or discovered by the white race. Now, there are several races of people very good at mimicking what we do, namely the Chinese and the Japanese. Are they very good at coming in and taking pictures of our factories and then going home and duplicating what we do? Yeah, and they admit that. That's what they do. If you think about it, until the white race came in with their discoveries and their inventions and everything else, when did the Chinese and Japanese ever invent any of those things? They didn't. So the truth in this world is not that hard to find. And a lot of people have a hard time with it because it bounces against the narrative created by the mainstream churches, the mainstream education situation, and the mainstream media. They're all in collusion with one another to deceive the children of Yahweh. That's why it says in the book, the whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, which means what? To be made known, to be visible to those around them. The whole world is in travail. Is this world in travail? Let's see, we got armies killing each other and civilian populations all over the place. Again, we've got factories dumping pollutants into our water and air. They're polluting our food with GMO and hybrid. Hybridization of seeds is ungodly. There's nothing in Scripture that says you're allowed to invent a new plant, a new animal, or a new human being. You're not allowed to do it. That's why it says in the Sixth Commandment in the Septuagint Bible, ukmukesus in the Greek language, which is a very simple phrase. It just says, do not mongrelize. Do not hybridize. How much simpler can you get? some of the greatest truths in this world and some of the greatest truths that will set you free and make you healthy and wealthy and wise are very simple, short sentences. It's the enemy that likes to pontificate and sit up in front of a pulpit in these whitewashed sepulchres called churches and just go on and on and on with basically BS that they're feeding their sheep, leading the sheep to the slaughter, so to speak. We got a caller here. Phil, can you hear me?
I certainly can. It's an honor to be on your show. It's been a while since I've been on here.
Yeah, Phil, and, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just great. Been a little busy, but I'm doing wonderful. It was an absolutely gorgeous day out today. It's a little hot, though, but it was very nice. So.
Right, yep. It was definitely hot in the sun, but as soon as you got in the shade here in South Florida, it was actually a pretty nice day. I think the rest of the country north of us actually is in a worse heat wave than we are at this time. So.
Well, you were mentioning about the consequences of mongrelization and how it affects, you know, and how it's against Yahweh's law. And I thought I'd share with you your listeners a little personal experience about what I'm currently going through right now.
Sure,
that,
go ahead.
Well, I live in a neighborhood. It's a pretty peaceful neighborhood, and it's a nice neighborhood. It's in Pinellas County in Florida, and it's rather quiet and. It's gotten a little bit bad lately over the last few years. We have a couple pools in our neighborhood pools, and one of them is at the end of my street. I live on a dead end street, and there's another one literally like about 100 yards from that. And we have had a horrible problem in that we're getting a lot of blacks coming in. They're race mix, okay, and or they're complete black, and, or they're like Hispanic or something, you know, and they're not white Hispanics, I should say too, and they're coming in and they are literally just they are crapping in the pool, Dan, okay, and we have had when this happens, we have to shock our pool, we have to shock the pool. Which costs an enormous amount of money to do, and you basically have to lock the thing down, and it's shut down basically for a week, and it's happening more and more frequently, and every time, and if I go to the pool, especially on the weekend or something, I'll see like half a dozen of these creatures in there, and they don't care. I had a girl there who had a dog that was in the pool area, and the signs clearly say that that you're not supposed to have any pets. And I told her that, and she says, "I don't care. What are you going to do about it? I'm not going to do anything about it. You know, I can do whatever the hell I want to do. You know, and you can't tell me what to do. You know, and she doesn't care about the consequences of what she's doing." And this is Monday. Well, president of the association, he's a retired police officer. He comes over and knocks on my door. Now I'm responsible for. I've got a little side job. I basically just take out the trash dumpsters. And on Monday night, they pay me pretty darn good for literally doing practically nothing. And it's a really easy thing, and I'm glad to do it. And he knocks on my door and tells me that he says, "Look," he says. We're gonna have to chain up the West Pool," he said. "I went in there and there's a big turd in the bottom of the deep end of the pool," and he says, and I said, "Okay," he says, and I got something else for you," he says, "you're gonna have to go get some surgical gloves and everything because they had two used diapers that someone just threw over the side of the fence and are just sitting there and they're disgusting you're going to have to go pick them up." We have like two dumpsters and like five trash cans, okay, and they're not using any of them. And they have no understanding of what they're doing. And we've got five of these we've had the shock pool five times already this year, and it's just the beginning of July. And we may not be able to afford to have the pool. We have to shut them down because of the damage that they're doing, and they have no understanding of the consequences of their actions, and it's really pissing me off. And you can't, these people just do not, they don't think clearly. They don't understand. They just think that money grows on trees. Well, it is if you're a Jew and you're printing paper, but for the rest of us, you know, we have to work for a living, and it's really aggravating, and it infuriates me. And unfortunately, there's very little that we can do, you know. And you were mentioning about some of these other races that people that realize what's going on. And I had an employee that I work with, and she was a black girl, and unfortunately, and I actually liked her, and she's leaving, and she said she came over and said to me, she says, you got to do something about these black guys. She says, they're just total jerks. And I only like white men because the black guys are worthless. And she said, and if you don't do anything about it, things are going to get worse, you know, and this is from a black woman. And they're knowing this, and things are just getting worse and worse and worse, and until people realize that, and I grew up in Indiana. I've got friends in Indiana, and they are just brain dead to the outside world. They just do not realize the consequences of what's going on in this country. I mean, and how these our cities are being destroyed, and they've become basically communist havens. I left Cincinnati in 1970 when I was 3 years old, and that was the last time they had a non-democratic city council in the city, and all the whites have fled to the hills basically, and it's getting that way everywhere, and the way the communist system is working is that the producers are being decimated because they produce, and those that don't produce are being encouraged and rewarded for just simply breeding, and they're sitting around doing nothing. And when you sit around and do nothing, all you think about is like, you know, just pleasing yourself, which includes sex. And when you're a racial alien, you usually don't think about the consequences of birth control and things like that white people do. I remember a linguistics professor that specialized in black African languages, and he talked about how absolutely insanely primitive they are. They only have, you know, a very small number of vocabulary words, and he said, and they have absolutely no concept of past, present, and future. They have the same word for all three, you know, and they'll understand death, but they won't understand planning ahead and the consequences of what you're doing. And so this is why when they try and teach them how to use condoms, it's a complete waste of time, because if you're going to use that, you have to one, understand, what you're doing, what's the consequences of your actions, and you get a disease or pregnancy or something. And so you have to plan ahead, and they just don't understand that. And they just simply say, well, it's not affecting me now, so why should I worry? And so they don't even, they just act on primitive instinct. And it's sad. And these creatures are being brought into Europe, and we're being forced to have to face this. And it's being hidden from the public, in such a way, but it's also, for those that are aware, you know, it's being whispered by a lot of people. I think there's a lot more people that are woke up than we know, and there's a lot of them that are just afraid to say something. And I think that there's a spark that's going to happen, and when it does, it's gonna blow. And so we're just waiting for that. I I wanted to ask, one of the things that I guess it kind of gets to me, I guess sometimes when it comes to studying scripture, is it talks about that we are to occupy until he comes. And I sometimes wonder what's the, you know, what does that actually mean? Do we just sit around and do nothing, or do we, you know, and just be aware of what's going on, or do we, you know, how do we act and stuff like that? You know, how do we try and build the kingdom? Because I'm sure, you know, we should be striving to build that kingdom. There's a church that I pass on my way to work, and it has these stupid little lines on the billboard there to invite you in. And last week they had one that really got to me. It's pretty much explains why you don't go to church, and I don't go either, because it's a waste of time. And it says we are a place of relationships and no rules, and that pretty much sums it up.
Yep, so. It's the apostate church. You know, I've said the same thing in recent meetings here. We have a community here. It's got the same issues with the minorities, and especially the children of the minorities. I stood up at the last HOA meeting, and I said there's a problem in this community, and there's a problem in this meeting, because they had invited a bunch of the Hispanics in. I said there's no discipline. There's no discipline in the community. They don't enforce the rules. There's no discipline in this meeting because the chairman, who happens to be a friend of mine, the chairman, and I told him, I said, he's the chairman. You're supposed to keep your damn mouth shut until the chairman recognizes you. Then you and you alone address the chairman. You don't sit here and have crosstalk. You don't get into an argument. You don't do all this other stuff. It's a meeting. So I said, if you had the discipline and followed the rules, this meeting would go a lot smoother. Life in this park would be a lot better if you enforced the rules, but it's the same thing. Everything's a feel-good thing today. I just watched a Mark Dice video just before coming onto the call, and he was talking about now there are people who are offended by healthcare companies and professionals telling people they should lose weight. You're offending people. You're what do they call it? You're fat shaming them. And it's like, you have got to be kidding me. We have turned the people of this earth into cucks, soy boys and girls, snowflakes, pansies, pussies, whatever term you want to call the effeminization of the people. It's beyond belief. To those of us that grew up, and I praise Yahweh every day that I grew up when I grew up, because I had the honor to walk with real men. Now, they weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There were some drunks in there and Lord knows what else. But one thing these men were, I'm talking about my grandparents, I'm talking about my uncles and my dad and his brother, these guys were men. They didn't take any BS off their wives, their children, their neighbors, their bosses. They didn't take any BS off anybody. And now I've watched in my lifetime, men have been emasculated to the point they don't stand for a damn thing. Everybody's so afraid of being called a name. It's just sickening. What? Who cares if you're called a name? You know, on the playground when I was a boy, they had a nursery rhyme or a saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, and everybody's offended by a damn name. When I went into the Air Force, the black guys liked to call us honkies and crackers. And so, you know, some of my white friends and I, we'd sit around and we'd go, what's up with the blacks calling us honkies and crackers? He goes, well, that's a derogatory term. I said, really? I said, well, okay. So, you know, white guys, we don't care. You know, you can say whatever you want. You don't hurt me. It just shows your ignorance. Oh, that's all. But boy, oh boy, if you turned around and said, excuse me, but what did you say, nigger? Oh, my God, you can't call him that. Well, you know, I had a master sergeant come over to me, and he said, you know, you really should not say that. And I said, well, why is it okay for him to sit over there with his black buddies calling us honkies and crackers? It's okay for that, but you're going to tell me I can't call him what he's behaving like which is a nigger. You see, I have black people that I know that are well-behaved. In fact, there's a guy that lives across the street from me, a black guy. He's probably one of the nicest guys in the whole community. So I know black people, but I also know niggers, and there's a difference. Just like I know white people, and I know white trash. Just like everybody else, every race has their members who behave in very, very, very bad ways. So just because you're calling them out for their bad behavior, you see, this is Talmudism. This is Jewish Talmudism being forced down our throats, where everything is subjective instead of objective. A white man's way of doing things is logic, proven logic. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Jew's way of doing everything is subjective. It's all about the feelings. And that's why you see the churches doing what they're doing. They're useless. Even that guy, Mark Taylor, that wrote the book, The Trump Prophecies, has come out recently, and he said the same thing that we're saying here tonight. He said, I wouldn't go to a 501c3 church. And he called out the preachers. Where are the preachers? How can all this pornography, pedophilia, harvesting of organs, abortion, and all these other things that are heinous and hideous, how can they be going on? Where the hell are the preachers? They're safely tucked away in their homes next in the parsonage next to the church, getting ready for their next Sunday boring sermon that comes out of the manual that's given to them by the church headquarters. They're all canned sermons. None of them has a word coming from Heavenly Father. They're not called to that. They come out of a seminary. I wouldn't listen to anybody with a seminary degree, and I sure as hell would not go to any church that has a seminary-degreed pastor. I wouldn't go to any church that's got a female pastor, to be honest with you. I sure as hell wouldn't go to any church that's got a minority or a queer for a pastor, because they can't get even that part right. So what are they going to teach you? I can't believe how many people believe lies today. It's the scripture is 100% right. It said that at the end of the age, my people would want their ears tickled. And that's exactly what these people are. Tell me lies. Tell me smooth things. Don't offend me. Don't bust my comfort zone. Just keep lying to me. Even though those lies could cost me my life, those lies could cost me my health. We've got a dear brother up in Illinois. His wife is fighting for her very life. She's only 42 years old. With cancer, stage 4 cancer. She's been sent home to die. We're praying Yahweh is going to bring a healing. But that's what the medical mafia did to that family over a couple years period. They've taken them to the point where they told her to go home and die. Just like my my brother and his only child at the end of 2016, after a year of suffering from what the medical mafia did to him, he succumbed to cancer at 28 years old. This is close and personal to me, my war against the liars and the medical mafia. And it's also against the government and their lies, because I was part of the military. I saw what we were doing to innocent people. This world has got to straighten up. This world has to get to the point where truth matters, Phil. How can you go through this world and not believe that truth matters? How can you go through this world and not do everything within your power to find out what the truth is versus the propaganda and the talking points by the liars and misfits out here? How do you do that? Why isn't that common sense, Phil?
Because it would take an effort to think, and it would make you realize that you're living in a fallen world, and the way the Judeo-Christians want to teach it is that everything is good. They're basically teaching a Baal theology that evil and good are basically morally equivalent, in the sense that they're all for the glory of God, and so therefore you cannot criticize it, because you realize that there's consequences to one's actions. and that would when you put people in a situation where there's right and wrong, you make people uncomfortable. It's kind of like with Christmas. You have everybody loves Christmas because Christ is just a little innocent little baby, not very, you know, no big deal. But very few people will celebrate Resurrection Sunday. They'd rather celebrate Ishtar Sunday, because Resurrection Sunday has consequences. It is Yahweh's judgment upon us, and the only way you can solve that is through blood. We have crony capitalism, and it's all about being able to make money, and in order to do that, you have to appeal to the customer, and the customer is always right, regardless of whether the customer is wrong. And if you tell the customer he's wrong, he'll sue you or he'll never come back. Okay, I would love to tell some of these customers that they shouldn't use the pool. And if I do that, I'm going to be, they're going to be upset at me. And this is what's happening. This is why the legal system has become so utterly corrupted, by these Jewish money grabbers. They don't give a damn about anything. That's why they, for instance, people don't realize that the reason why the Branch Rickey allowed Jackie Robinson to go into the to go into Major League Baseball is to destroy the Negro Leagues. And the Negro Leagues were extremely popular, and he wanted to mongrelize the races. And he wanted to make the blacks popular, to try and make them as popular as possible to white women. And the only white women that appeal to that kind of thing are basically whores. That's it. And Jackie Robinson wore number 42. 4 + 2 = 6. We know what that number is. And 42 is also the high water mark of the resistance against the Jewish power in the Second World War with the National Socialists. So you can see the symbolism, and every year they have this Jackie Robinson Day where they all sit around and dance. Oh, we get to play with blacks, but this is all a business. It has nothing to do with relationships or anything. It's just like if you work at Walmart or anywhere else, you know. It's not the same as if you're playing baseball with the kids in the neighborhood and you play with your friends. It's not the same at all. It's just you're putting on a uniform and you're doing it. And once they did that, all the blacks started to wear Jackie Robinson's uniforms tonight. And the only thing that blacks have in our society is sports and music, and it's all entirely Jewish run. And it's all about the dollar. And we are sacrificing ourselves pillar of evil that the enemies have put upon us. Yeah. That's what it's all about. You know, that's how the schools are being destroyed and everything else.
Yep. And here's the big problem. The white race has been sitting on their ass, allowing everybody else to make decisions and get away with all this stuff. We've been quiet. We've been acquiescing and allowing the enemies of our race to have power and sway. Let me give you some updates here. First of all, current events and the QAnon updates are very, very pointed lately. They've been outing the Freemasons and the fact that all these false flags have a lot of Freemasons in it, a lot of crisis actors. The fake media is being outed. There is talk that high treason is being considered to be charged against the highest levels, and that will include Obama, the Podestas, Hillary, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, etc. So you got all those things happening. Somebody is pushing and putting pressure for this to happen. So we have to pay attention to that. We have to assist it. Now here locally, let me give you an example. Just a few days ago, I live in a park in an area of Florida where there's only about 14% white. Now, in the park here, we're probably somewhere between 50 to 60%. Now, the office manager is a female, Latina. Most of the staff is Latinas and Latinos. And there was one or two black ladies that worked in there. And we have been complaining to the home office about the way the parks run. There has been, they don't have any hiring of guards that can speak English very well. There are no whites being hired in security. There are no whites working in the office. And me and other members of the community have been calling the corporate office and complaining and asking, how are you legally doing this? How can you hire guards that can't understand English when I go up there to report a problem or a stolen bicycle or whatever? How can you have an office in a country that's white, and yet you've got an office staff that doesn't even have one single white person in it? Just the other day, a new vice president was hired. He fired the regional manager, and he fired the entire staff of our community office. And the office manager was told that she is on extremely thin ice, basically probation, to see how well she does in the coming months. So there's a case in point where when we get involved, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The problem in the white nations of the earth is the white people have been sitting in their homes bitching about everything going on, but they're not making any moves to fix the problem. They're not putting any faith in their abilities. They're not putting any faith in a Heavenly Father that says, if you will walk with me and reverence me, I go with you. I will give you the victory, just like he did Gideon. Gideon only had 300 men, folks. He started out with over 30,000 before Yahweh made him whittle it down to the best 300. And he was outnumbered when he had 33,000. Think how outnumbered he was when he only had 300. And yet, they won the victory and did not suffer a single casualty. Think about this, Phil. Our enemy owns the media for a reason. They want the white race to feel there is no hope. They want the white race to feel as if they don't have a right to stick up for their own race and their own values and their own families. They want us to think that they already have this war won, when the truth of the matter is they don't have anything won. It's just a matter of when the sons of Yahweh become manifested, meaning when we take the bull by the horns, we put our egos to the side, we put all this other nonsense to the side, and we stand up as a family and say, I'm not going to take this bullshit anymore. That's what the enemy's worried about, is the white race is starting to wake up. I read hundreds and hundreds of comments on all kinds of different channels. And the comments by the white race that's tired of all of these liberals, these minorities, and particularly these Jews, they are outing the Jews like never, ever before. That's a sign that we're getting close to the point like what happened here in this community, where somebody finally paid attention and realized that there is a severe problem here, and the white people aren't going to take your crap anymore. We'll take things into our own hands here pretty soon if you don't fix the damn problem. And so they came in and fired the whole office. The same thing needs to happen in London. The same thing needs to happen in Berlin. The same thing needs to happen in Washington, D.C. We need the swamps drained of all these creatures so that we can get a fresh start and get our countries back on the biblical path where we belong. The white race belongs on a biblical path. George Washington said it. The Constitution of the United States was written for a moral people, and it will not work for any other.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be self-governing. And I've got another caller, Phil, so I'm going to see what they have to say, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Yahweh bless. Hey, and if you got something else, just *6 again, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Carson, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Very good.
So I have a question. What do you think about the a total white revolution and the use of violence against non-whites to retake our communities?
What do I think about that? I think that that is a natural consequence if the problems don't get fixed. History teaches that. All you have to do is study history. That's how the American Revolution came about. It was a war of independence because England would not listen to the many, many decades where we wrote the letters of protest over the king's actions here in the United, well, in the colonies that became the United States. It happens all through history. So the white race always has the right to defend itself, if whether you're a person, whether you're a couple families, whether you're a whole community. If somebody comes in and threatens your life, liberty, or property, you have a right to defend yourself. That's a God-given right.
Right. So it's actually not against, like, let's say some, you know, I get some of my boys together and we go down and we go and fuck up some, or sorry for my language, can I use that language on here or should I refrain?
Well, this is a commander's call, so this is not church, so go ahead.
All right, and we go down and we fuck up, you know, some minorities. Would that be against biblical teachings, or would that just be us taking action?
Well, I would think you'd be outside of the protection of the Father if you were just going to go down there and do that. That's not self-defense. That's not upholding the law.
Right, right. So we can't use like a preemptive strike of any sort.
Well, no, not in that sense. No, if war breaks out, well, then there will be all kinds of things happening. But right now, everything, according to what I read in Scripture, Yahweh says that we can always defend ourselves. At some point, our people will be given the green light to fix the problems. And what that means is these other races are going to be told, you've got X number of hours to either get the hell out of the country or behave yourself, because at this day, at this hour, we will uphold the law, which is God's law. All right?
Right.
All law is based on God's law, all legitimate law. So the word would go out, and then if they misbehave after that, then we have the right to deal with them as we see fit to get them to stop doing what they're doing, whatever it takes.
Right, right. So, let's say, you know how in Leviticus, like 20:13, it says how we can, how it's God's law to kill homosexuals for their actions. Would that be only for, could that only be, I don't know how to word this, that law could only be enacted through our government taking action or the citizens taking action? Like, let's say there's a pride parade going on. You can't just go down there and kill a bunch of buckets.
No, it's got to be due process. And right now, the enemy has control over our courts and the media and everything else, so you'd be committing suicide because the enemy has us by the balls. So you can only use self-defense. Father will justify the use of self-defense, not preactive going out there or proactive going out there to do what you're talking about. No, not right now. We're under judgment because we've allowed the enemy to take over positions within our government and in our lawmaking organizations, and they've allowed this to come about. When I was a boy, homosexuality was not condoned. That's why they stayed in the closet, because they would get beat up or they would be ostracized or they would be kicked out of families. I'll give you a quick story. During World War I, I had an uncle by the name of Brownie Node, and he was upgraded to lieutenant in the trenches over in France. And one day, he came across two men who were engaged in homosexual activity. Mm. So he told the two men to strip all their gear off. He gave each of them a revolver with 6 rounds of ammunition, and they blew the whistle, and they had to go over the top of the trench towards the Germans, and the Germans shot them dead. The reason they did that is, number one, you can't have homosexuality in your military. It tears apart the ability of the military to operate properly. Number two is, at that point in time in our history, it was such a great shame and embarrassment that nobody wanted the people back in their hometowns to know that they were queer. And so they were just sent home as killed in action, and so there was still honor to the family's name and no stain. So the point of it is, right now we have been overtaken, and we have to get our due process back. All law, again, has to be by God's law, or it's no law at all, says William Blackstone. So when we take back our governments, which we will, I mean, that's what the scripture says. That's what's going to happen. We will take it back. We will hold tribunals. We will hold court. And people can make their accusation, and the accused has a right to defend themselves. That's the biblical way. It's not a mob going down and just grabbing people and, because you think they're queer, just beating them up or killing them. No, that's not what the book's talking about. If they are homosexuals and they're discovered, then they would be brought before the courts and the people, and they'd be given a chance to defend themselves, and the evidence will be presented against them, and then it's up to either a panel of judges or jury to decide their fate. That's the way it works.
Right. So still, what about it? Does the same thing apply to those in government? Those who we know are guilty of crimes and whatnot, do we not have the right to take action on those people?
Well, again, if people take that sort of thing upon themselves, then they're taking a chance, because the sitting government's going to consider them outlaws.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like what's happening here in the United States is there are elements of the intelligence agencies and the military and government that realize that this country's going to hell. The communists have taken over. And so now they're trying to return order back by taking back the courts to get righteous judgments the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. So it's going to take a lot, and we're trying, and I believe this is what's happening. Instead of a coup, a bloody revolution, they're trying to do it within the system, so to speak, by getting rid of the cabal, which, if you go onto the QAnon.pub website, you'll see the list of all the CEOs and high government people that are stepping down all of a sudden. So the
right.
cleaning of the swamp is taking place. There's been 4,500 or more arrests around the world of pedophiles, major pedophiles. There was an attempted arrest of the Pope last week.
Really?
There were actually people who went up to handcuff him and arrest him. And it turned into a scuffle with the Vatican police. And while they were scuffling, the Pope got away. But there's an arrest warrant out for Pope Francis and for the Ratzinger, the previous Jew Pope.
By who, the Italian police? Or
no, it's by a international, basically it's an international citizens grand jury. So the citizens are organizing right now to form grand juries, which is our right to do that. If the court system is corrupt, get together with citizens and form a grand jury in the United States. It would be at the county level. Get a citizens grand jury put together and get the militia or the county sheriff, if he's a good sheriff, to be part of it, and create an arrest warrant and make charges and arrest these people. So
right.
there's a civil way of doing it, and then there's the bloody way of doing it. And I believe, just like the founding fathers of this country, that you should attempt the bloodless reconciliation of the country before you go to bloodshed. Unless, of course, as I said, if these people threaten you, if they're coming in onto your property with weapons, or they're attempting to drag you out of your car, that's a whole different story. You have a right to defend your life, your property, and your family. You have a right to defend those things. That's a God-given right. Nobody can take that away from you.
Right. So do you think that it will eventually turn bloody, or do you think we can do it through the political system?
It's already turned bloody. There was a demonstration up in Washington State recently where peaceful conservatives and Trump supporters had gathered. The cops took down the barriers, which is probably what the Jew in charge of the city up there wanted. And the Antifa attacked the peaceful conservatives. And I watched the video of this. I mean, this guy was built. He looked like a commando. He went up to that Antifa guy and grabbed his club that he was trying to beat him with. He grabbed it and with one punch knocked this guy completely out.
I saw that. The guy apparently had brain damage after that.
I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised because he cold cocked him. But so we have violence already. It's just that if you're on the conservative side or the pro-white side, everything is stacked against us at the moment. But all that is changing. That's why I'm telling people have patience. It's changing. All we have to do is constantly apply pressure to the government, because the Founding Fathers told us, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. Well, the problem in the white nations up till now is they have not feared the people, but that's starting to change. I was told by a police officer friend of mine that weapons are being bought by the white race like never before. Ammunition being bought like never before. Preparations being made like never before. The white race is waking up, and they know it. That's why you're seeing change. They know that the day of the sword is not far away, because you can only push people so far, and they're just not going to give a shit anymore, and they're just going to take you out. They're going to get together. Let me give you a case in point. Do you remember, I think it was about 6 months ago, when there was a rumor that there was a contract out for George Soros for like $12 or $16 million. That was the rumor going around the internet. I got two phone calls by military people I know, and both of those phone calls were asking me, is this rumor true? And I said, well, I don't really know, but I would guess that it's not true. It's fake news. I said, I wish it were true, but I don't think it is. And then I asked him, I said, why are you asking? And he said, because I plan on collecting the money. He was part, both of the calls I got, these were men that were part of cells of military-trained snipers. And their plan was, if somebody's going to give me $12 to $16 million, I will get George Soros.
Jeez.
So that tells me that that's where we are in the world today, and that's where America is today. And if you're having trouble hearing, they're setting off the grand finale for the fireworks in the community down here, so I apologize.
Right. That's fine.
Yeah, but the point of it was that it's just like that guy that called me in 2010. I know there's good guys out there. You know, I interviewed General Ben Parton. I interviewed Colonel Don de Grand Pre that wrote the books Barbarians Within the Gates. I interviewed Colonel Francis. I've interviewed majors and police officers and Sergeant Barry, who's in the Special Forces Underground. I've interviewed all these guys. I know there's lots and lots of good men and women in our military, police, and in government. They're trapped in a bad system, waiting. They've been waiting for the American people to say, I've had enough.
Right. Yeah, I heard a statistic that if revolution ever did occur, that a huge portion of the U.S. military would defect.
Yeah, it's the old story that everybody waits around for somebody else to make the first move. It's just like when we were talking about King David took on Goliath. Oh, the whole army of the Israelites was standing on the hillside watching. And they let David go down there all by himself. But when he succeeded and he decapitated Goliath, then the rest of them joined it. It's the same story when Phinehas killed the race mixer in the tent, who was a prince of Israel with his non-white little lover. And Phineas went in and put a spear down through the two of them while they were engaged in sex. And God didn't curse him, did he? No. Why? He blessed him, and the rest of the Israelites rose up and put thousands of people to death that afternoon. So we got lots of people sitting by. They know something's wrong. They've got the weapons. They've got the ability. They know that there's a big problem in here, but they're waiting for the spark. They're waiting for the leadership to stand up, and they're waiting for the spark. And I don't think we're very far from it, to be honest with you. I think I tell all my friends, stay ready, because it's not going to be long before we get the green light. Because if they don't fix problems, here's the issue. If we don't fix what's going on today, nobody's going to survive. What do you think is going to happen when there's no more heirloom seeds? What do you think is going to happen when the honeybees no longer go and cross-pollinate the vegetables and the trees? Okay, we survive because of that process. And a lot of people laugh at that. They think that modern science is going to fix everything. No, I got news for you. No, it's not. If you think the honeybee population can disappear and you think life on Earth is going to stay the same, you're crazy. If you think they can hybridize and genetically modify all of the natural order of things and there'll be no price to pay for it, if people think that, they're crazy. I got Phil wants to get back on, Carson, unless you had something more. Hello? Okay, Phil. You're up, buddy.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a couple things. The ancient Germans, back in their, we might call the pagan days, before they were converted by Charlemagne, they had a saying that said, essentially, that it's better to die in a brief, horrible death in battle than to live a horrible life under a wicked, evil system. And and that pretty much sums it up. At work, I've had last week, I had to go through an indoctrination system of watching a training program. It was just called, which was basically called cultural sensitivity and understanding. And this thing, Dan, you would put duct tape over your head to prevent your head from exploding. It was the most idiotic, stupid thing. And it talked about cultural competency and it was absolutely ridiculous. It basically denied the existence of race as a reality, and said that all ideas are equally equivalent, and that we need to understand them. This would include practicing voodoo. Okay, I mean, they were giving these mock examples of people coming in and you're having to understand what they're saying, and you have to talk to them in an appropriate way, even, you know, and overcome their language barriers and things like that. And even the good things, however, you had to let them know, you had to try and get them off of those. For instance, they had an example of a Navajo, an elderly Navajo woman who used an herbal tea to help her overcome some pain. And you had to what you had to do was you had to teach her that she had to give up this natural remedy in order to use some pharmaceutical product, but you had to do it in an understanding way. So, and it's clear that what's going on is that they would talk about the discrepancies in disease and lifespan and things like that, and being poor and everything and all this other stuff. What they don't realize is that you cannot get people, or to lift up what they're incapable of doing with their with what you know Yahweh God gave them. The only thing you can do is lower the those at the top, the white race. You have to lower us by not allowing us to have our own children, by infecting our food, and by doing things that are lowering the testosterone level, and doing every single thing that will give us cancer and stuff like that. You have to lower that, because if you look at it, if you watch this program that I had to listen to for over an hour and take, you know, it drove me insane, and it was clearly an anti-white, anti-Western civilization, stupid thing. It was liberalism on steroids, in such an insane level that you knew that they were doing it to basically wake you up to the stupidity of it all, because you have to be. You're rolling your eyes and watching this and going, oh my God, this is absolutely ridiculous. And my company is being sold, and we're basically going to be controlled by a bunch of Indians out of Canada. That's basically what it's going to be. And a few years ago, my company was one of the top of the state. So this is what we're facing here. And if we don't stand up, we're, you know, it's going to be over. And it's part of my French. It's shit or get off the pot. It's basically what it is. And we've got to really, really, stand up. And I think something's really coming down here, you know, because I'm getting tired of it. It's just, you know, and if the economy's going, by the way, my mother listened to a news program on PBS, which of course you and I would avoid like the plague, but she said to me that they were saying that it looks like there's going to be a major economic crash down the pike. And yeah, it's my opinion, from a historical perspective, that I think what they're planning on doing is the reason why they've been making things out to be so spectacular under Trump. Okay, at the beginning, they've been giving lies to the press and stuff like that to make the economy much better than it is to basically turn Trump into Hoover, what they did in the 1920s. And make everything look really good, and then just crash the thing, just have the bottom fall out, and blame it all on him, and he doesn't do anything. He just goes over to the new embassy in Jerusalem and has his little party, and he's blamed, and everyone who voted for him is basically labeled as an idiot in the press, and uninformed, and an illiterate hillbilly. And then you can see how it's going. That's what I think they're trying to do. They're trying to turn Trump into Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, well, I believe we're in the Book of Revelation right now, and I see I got a couple more callers, so I'll get to them in just a minute. But I believe we're into the point of the Book of Revelation when it says that Babylon is going to be destroyed in a very short time. It's an economic destruction, and it's the merchants and leaders of the governments that are doing the weeping and wailing. So that's what I'm holding out for. Again, it could go the other way, but every indicator I get from all the different sources tells me that there is something actually good going on below the radar. It's going to be a gigantic economic change one way or the other in the very near future, and we need to be mentally prepared for that, just like we need to be mentally prepared for the dumping of the criminality of the leaders of this world, which has not happened yet. When all of that is revealed, it's going to be mind-boggling. And people need to be getting ready for that mentally right now. Let me jump off here and see what these other callers have, Phil. Okay, buddy?
No problem.
All right. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right. Kumru Ambeth, Welcome to the program. Hello? Hello, you got your microphone muted by any chance? You're not muted at my end. Qumran Beth, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Okay, Vinny, you're up.
Hello?
You got your speakers up.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, that's good then. I was wondering, I just want your opinion on the Rosenberg dynasty.
The Rosenberg?
Rosenbergs.
Where?
So there's a kick group and a basic conspiracy group, and it's going on about the Jews. Well, not the Jews, but like, basically, they're the Discord group, and they were saying that Jews are the chosen people. Is that true or not?
Chosen for what?
Just chosen people, just God's people. That's
no,
what Rosenberg said.
No, they're not. They're, if you read the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, verse 9, and then follow that up with Obadiah, verse 18, they'll tell you what they're chosen for.
What are they chosen for?
They're chosen for final annihilation, according to the prophet Obadiah.
All right. Obadiah 15.
18.
Not 15. Yep,
no,
yep, it's 50.
No. 18.
Alright, well, I think Carson wants to speak, so I'm just going to let him have a go.
Okay.
So I'll be seeing you. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Okay, Carson, you're on. Hello? Is your microphone muted, Carson?
Oh, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I was muted. Yeah, sorry for that little outburst when I left. I have Tourette's.
Oh, that's okay. didn't bother me.
All right. Yeah. You know, I don't know, man. It must have been something that, like you were talking about earlier with the medical mafia and whatnot. I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. You know, these GMO foods and whatnot giving me Tourette's in my brain and stuff. So
here's the thing. I'm a certified natural health professional. I've studied health issues since I was in my 20s because I wanted to be the healthiest I could possibly be my entire life because I don't like doctors and I don't like hospitals and I don't like pharmaceuticals. What I learned from the natural health people is they said a perfectly healthy body is at homeostasis, all right? Homeostasis means that all the systems of the body are at rest. If you have anything out of balance, it will cause everything that's out there, including Tourette's. So what you need to get with is a good, qualified naturopath and have them do an assessment on what systems of your body you might need a cleanse. You might need a heavy metal detox. I don't know, but get with a good naturopath and have them work with you, and I'll bet you your body would come back into homeostasis and your problems will go away.
All right. So like they could like I need to just go to one of the. Where could I find one of these natural health professionals?
Where are you living? What state?
I live in Canada. I live in Nova Scotia, Canada, East Coast.
Nova Scotia. I'll tell you what. If you go to PastorDan.net and contact me through there, I'll put you in touch with a German couple that lives in the eastern side of Canada, and they're very familiar with natural healing methods. And I'm sure they could help you out. Actually, I know a couple people in eastern Canada. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Fuck!
Okay, Qumru and Beth. I can't hear you. You got to turn your mic on or something.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can, yeah. So what was it? You were muted or just not connected?
My mic was muted.
Okay. So what's up?
I want to let you know that Carson is basically trolling you. You can hear the laughter in his voice. You don't want him on your show again.
Okay.
You can hear his cocky laugh every time he, quote, acts up.
Okay. Is this from previous experience on other channels or something?
Oh, yeah. I could tell when someone's trying to be a troll.
Okay. Well, you can fool me for a while, but eventually I'll figure it out, and I just block people that are pulling games. We're here to seriously try to help people. This world is one effed up mess, and if people don't want to be part of that, then they just need to go to another channel. But we're not here to play games. So, you know.
Right, I fully agree. That's why I wanted to let you know that I could definitely tell he was trolling you just by the sound of his little giggle and mocking laugh.
Yeah, well,
I was able to pick up on it.
I look at it this way. I try not to be judgmental. I've met a lot of people with a lot of different physical handicaps over the years, whether it's stuttering or Tourette's, or there's a whole gamut, all right? So I try not to judge until I know personally that they're playing me, and then once they play me, they'll never get a chance to do it again. So, you know, until that time, though, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. That's just the way I do things. So what else is on your mind tonight? Anything about what's going on, the economy, which, as Phil said, we're getting ready for some huge changes in the economy. We're getting some politically, the legal system. There's going to be a whole bunch of indictments handed out here pretty soon. So life in America is about ready to change drastically. Hopefully for the better, but until we see exactly who all these indictments are for and we see why they hired almost 500 new prosecutors and why the National Guard and the Marines are on standby, okay, there's something going on and we need to stay on alert. That's all I can tell you.
And I definitely agree with that. I look forward to see what comes down the pipeline for the future, as well as with our movement with the ARC project.
Well, I've been in contact with a couple people recently, elders who are very well connected, both as far as the message, meaning that they're strong believers, but they're also businessmen with connections. There's actually three of them that I've talked to recently. And so the ARC project is moving forward. It seems like it's moving forward at a snail's pace, but it's moving forward. That's better than backwards. So we keep it in our prayers and just, you know, we take it a step at a time. Step at a time. Everything comes in Father's time. I talked to several people that are depressed because of the state of things and nothing seems to be moving. And I remind people that when I first learned this message, I told the Father that I would preach it to the whole world if he gave me the chance. And back then, there was no internet. There was no internet radio. The only way to reach people around the earth was by shortwave radio. That was available to people like me, let's put it that way. So I set out on a search on how to set up my own shortwave radio station. And over the years, I either did not have enough money or I did not have the equipment, did not have the time, whatever. So 7 years later, I got invited to be a guest on an internet radio show, and then that led to me having my own show about a month later. And that was how By Yahweh's Design got started, 19 years ago. So it took 7 years from the time that I prayed the prayer, told the Father I'm ready, willing, and able, before he decided to put me in the trenches and give me some ammunition to fight what's going on in this world. So you gotta be patient. Just because you're ready to go doesn't mean the commander is going to send you into the battle. you got to have the whole picture. And the guys that know the whole picture are in the command tent, not us down here in the trenches at the lower ranks. All right? And that's the problem in the lower ranks, because in your opinion, we should be out there doing something today. The commanders know the big picture, and they make the decisions because they've got the bigger picture. They've got the intel. They know what the enemy's up to. The guys out in the field don't know that stuff, and so you have to trust your commanders. But then, just like it says, you've got to pick a good shepherd. As believers, you've got to pick your shepherds, meaning your leaders, and use wisdom when you do it. Same thing with the soldiers. You've got to have commanders that you trust. If you don't trust your commanders, you're not going to win very many battles. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. I can see we're already past an hour and a half. So did you have anything else there, Mr. Kumru Ambith?
No, that'll be it.
All righty. I'll jump here and see what this other caller's got. Yahweh bless. Thanks for calling in. All right, Vinny or Benny, you got to turn your speakers off.
Oh, sorry, mate. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
All right. I just thought I'd put a good word in for Carson, because I know him quite personally. He does actually have severe mental problems. And
okay.
I just felt quite offended when Kumru Ambith was insulting him.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'll keep an open mind and work with anybody up to a point. If it ever,
I think Kumru Ambith is actually a troll himself. He's trying to troll this forum.
Well, I happen to know Kumru Ambith personally, so I don't think that's it. There could be a misunderstanding, but I'm certain he's not a troll. So,
Nothing, mate. Continue.
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, I was wondering if it was a he or a she. You couldn't tell.
Oh, it's a he.
All right. Well, continue.
No, I'm just saying. So I give everybody a fair shake and a chance. And if at some time I discover that it's a troll situation or just somebody who's not being honest with me, then they don't come back on. That's all. No big deal.
All right.
Okay?
All right. Yep.
All right.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to take up any more of your 4th of July. But again, I just want to remind you real quick. We're celebrating 242 years, which is a long time for any nation. Most nations don't survive very long because of the corruption that comes in. America is no different. We are corrupt at the leadership positions in the government, etc. We have allowed the Jew to come in, which our ancestors like George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and the rest warned us about them coming into our country. They had seen what they did to the European nations, and they did not want them to muck up the fresh start that we were getting here in the colonies, which became the States United. And like good Israelites, we get a little bit of prosperity. We get a little bit of good things happening. We take our brains out. We set them over on the nightstand. Our hearts get too big. We get emotional. We allow others to push our emotional buttons. And that's what the Jews are excellent at doing. And the next thing you know, they have worked their way in, taken over our media, taken over the banking. Once you control what people get through the media, and once you control the issue of their currency, as Rothschild said many years ago, he cares not who makes the laws. If he controls the credit or issue of currency, he controls the country. And the bankers have been controlling the white nations and leading us all to hell, basically.
Pastor.
Whoops. Hold on a minute. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to do a quick rap for you. Before you go.
Yeah?
Alright. I'm a grime artist, upcoming grime artist, if that's alright. Alright. Commander Dan rap. Oh, it's Commander Dan. He's a gangster. Commander Dan doing gangster things. He's a gangster. He goes to church, and church he has a purse.
Okay, thank you.
It's all right. Y'all bless.
Y'all bless. Okay. Anyway, if you don't follow the Q posts, you can go to QAnon.pub, which is Papa Uniform Bravo. And there's a lot of information there, and it's very apparent that whoever Q is very closely associated with President Trump. So, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. It's just another source of intel. So, use it to your as you see fit, and that's all you can do. Again, all the indicators are that we're on the verge of some huge happenings. If you read the Book of Revelation, you can find out that Babylon falls in a very, very short period of time. As you read through it, you see it's an economic collapse. Every indication that we're seeing is that we're on the verge of an economic collapse. But that does not mean that we're not going to survive. It just means that things are going to change. The current fiat money system is going to go away. And hopefully, a biblically based financial system will take its place. You have to remember, why do we need money? Because governments create things called taxes, so that you have to have the currency that the government sets up to pay your taxes. Yahweh didn't allow that. Everybody thinks that the system we live in today is God-ordained, and it's not. You were put upon this earth. You didn't have any debts. You didn't need currency. All you needed was food, water, air, and life. And you had the ability to go build a shelter and to grow food and harvest and to hunt. Where did all this other stuff come from? It's all man-made. It's all government-made. That's why the Bible calls governments beasts, because they devour people. They steal. They enslave. They murder. That's why they're to be chained down, as George Washington said and Benjamin Franklin, chain the government down with the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't chain you and me down. Our rights come from God the Father, not a piece of paper. The piece of paper was to chain the government, your employees, your public servants down, and that includes law enforcement and military. So they've convinced us it's the other way around. No, it's not. We have the power. We are the rightful heirs. So come back to the Father, get your own life straight, so that you're a useful soldier in this fight that we're entering. He can't use those who are not clean on the inside as well as the outside. So if you're a Gideon-type man or woman, but particularly you men, then you're going to be a soldier in his army. And again, this is not a game. I know a lot of people think it's funny. They think this is a game. We're not in a game. We're not in a game. And King Brutus says, will this be racial holy war? Well, you figure it out. The Bible talks about race. We have a race of people trying to destroy our race. And will it become holy war? It's already become holy war. They've killed how many multiple tens of millions of our white race? And they've killed a lot of other people, too. All right? So there's already been too much innocent blood shed. It's time that the curse be lifted, which the scriptures tell us the curse cannot be lifted until innocent blood has been vindicated. It's time to vindicate the innocent blood and make those who have committed these crimes pay for their crimes. That's what our job is here. Go read Psalm 149. If you don't believe me, read Psalm 149. And that's your homework assignment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be with brothers and sisters. We pray for those that listen live and all those that listen by downloads. We are on the 4th of July, and thank you for the 242 years. We know we have failed you. We have not kept a tight rein on those that we've allowed into our government. And because of that, we've been led down the primrose path to self-destruction. And many, many innocent people of this earth have been destroyed and or killed, raped, murdered, whatever, because of our activities that people in government and military have done. And we know that the Jews' hands are very, very dirty in all of this. and it's time for a great reckoning. It's a time for a vindication. And it starts, though, with the house of Jacob Israel repenting of their sins, their transgressions of your law, and coming back to you. And with that army of righteous individuals, you can destroy this enemy. Those who choose not to enter into that righteous relationship with the Father, you're going to be destroyed as well. It's not just going to be these pedophiles, Jews, and everybody else. No, no, no. You're going to go into the waste deep of history as well. Yahweh clearly states, nothing that offends him will come into the kingdom that's coming. If you're an offense to him, your days are numbered. It's as simple as that. Choose sides and choose wisely. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name, and hallelujah.